Genesis chapter 18, if you would. Those of you that are going to be helping me today, you can go ahead and slip out if you would. I got some helpers today. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 18 and beginning at verse number 20. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. So I got a few verses to read. If you stick with me there as we read it, I won't take too long today, Lord willing. Genesis chapter 18, and beginning at verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he, God said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he, Abraham, said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he, the Lord, said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he, Abraham, again said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he, the Lord, said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you for your presence, your spirit that we feel. For all those that have made the effort to come today, and I pray you'd help me today to preach what you've laid on my heart. We need your anointing. We need your unction. We need you, Lord, to work in our hearts today, that your will would be done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a while today on searching for saints in Sodom. Searching for saints in Sodom. Now, I don't have to dwell for a long time about the sentence that was passed on Sodom. It came because of man's wickedness. Genesis 13 and 13 says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we already know about Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the sin that they were practicing. Matter of fact, it has become named in our day the sin and the crime of sodomy, or of being a Sodomite, came from the city of Sodom. That's the way they lived. That was their majority lifestyle. So man was very wicked. And so the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grievous, I'm going to go down and I'm going to see whether they've done according to the cry of it or not. And then we read about God's wrath. Amen. Man's wickedness was great, but now God's wrath is kindled, and so God decides to send these angels down to see if Sodom is totally corrupt. If wickedness is ruling unchecked throughout all of Sodom's society, and he had already determined that he would destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by raining fire and brimstone down out of heaven, they would be totally and completely wiped off the face of the earth. But I read to you about Abraham's intercession. It's an amazing account. How Abraham, when he becomes aware of what is happening, Abraham knows that Lot and his family live in Sodom. Lot is Abraham's nephew. They've been connected in life for many, many years. And now Lot has moved off into Sodom, and Abraham has been living out in his other place. And he begins now interceding on Sodom's behalf. And he says to God, "Oh, God, will you really destroy those that are righteous along with the wicked? Are you going to do that? How about if there are 50 there that are righteous and are living in Sodom, would you spare the whole city just for those 50 righteous?" And God makes a concession. You know, God really does have a lot of mercy. Amen. He is a merciful God. And so God made a concession, and he said to Abraham, I'll agree that if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, I'll spare the whole town. Well, Abraham feels this burden now of Sodom pressing on him, and so he proceeds to ask God for more mercy. And he says, "How about 45? And God says, "Yes, for 45 I'll spare the whole city." And Abraham says, "What about 40? And God agrees with 40, and then about 30, and God agrees with 30. And Abraham proceeds to bring it all the way down to 20. And God says, "Yes, I'll spare it for 20. And then Abraham persists. I'm telling you, he seems like he's really pushing the limit. And he says, "How about only 10? If there's just 10 there." And God said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." Wow. What mercy. When you think about this now, from the sentence of destruction that God placed on Sodom, and being willing to spare it all just for 50 righteous is pretty good. I mean, that's a merciful God. It seems more than fair on God's part. And now God has even gone far beyond that and brought it down from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 all the way down to 10. That if only 10 righteous can be found there, he'll spare it all. And so now we go from the sentence that's been put on Sodom to searching for the saints. This is the critical time now. There's got to be a count made. Because here's Sodom, under the sentence of wrath from God. Destruction is going to be poured out from heaven. And God has been willing to take from 50 all the way down to 10 and say, "If I can only find 10, I'm going to spare the whole city." So we're going to search for some saints in Sodom here today. See if we can find 10 just to spare this city. Surely we can find 10, I would think. How about right here? Anybody home? Hey, I need to know if there's anybody in there serving God that's righteous. Anybody in there living for God?
No.
How about?
What we feel,
you're not one of the righteous? You're not one of the saints? You're not going to live for God?
No.
All right, I'm sorry. Go on. Let me try here. Hey, anybody home?
Yeah.
Hey, hi, sir. I'm looking for righteous people here in Sodom that are living for Jehovah God. I only got to get 10, sir. All right, forget it. Hey, anybody home? Anybody there? Hey, I'm trying to find righteous people in Sodom. I only got to find 10. How about you, sir? Are you living? Come on, I'm trying. Nobody here living for God in this house at all?
Nobody.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, it's not looking too good. Here's a house. Let me try this house over here. Maybe I can find somebody over here that's living for God. Hello, anybody in there? Hey, anybody home? Hello, sir. Hello, I'm looking for people that are living for God, that are righteous people, that serve Jehovah God. Is there anybody here in the house that serves God?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Good. Come on. How many you got, sir?
Well, I've got myself,
Lot. Yes.
And I have my wife and my two daughters.
Oh, yes, 4.
Yes.
I got to find 10 people that are righteous. If I don't, the whole city's going to be destroyed. So I've been all around this part of the town. I haven't found nobody yet but you 4. But that's 4. You know somebody else?
Well, no, I have 2 other daughters, and they're married. That would be,
yeah.
2 daughters, that would be 4.
Oh, let's see. Where are they?
Husbands.
Where do they live?
Come on,
let's go see if we can. Let's see if we can check them out. Right here at this house?
Yes, this house.
Hello, anybody home?
Oh, what?
Hey. Yeah.
Yes.
These are your daughters and sons-in-laws?
Yes.
Look. Well, God's going to send judgment on Sodom, and I got to find 10 people that are righteous. I've been knocking all these doors trying. What?
Don't laugh at
about this. But, this is serious.
Yeah, I got to have 10. I've already got 4. I got to have.
Okay.
I,
you know, okay, you've
so,
been taught.
So if you get, yeah. If you get 10 people to get a prize or something.
Like no. Listen, really, I'm serious. If we get 10 people that are righteous, God's not going to destroy the whole city of Sodom. I only got
to
have.
No.
Oh, God, don't you understand how serious this is? We got to have. Oh, brother. Only 4. Well, I'm sorry. I guess you all are just going to have to get out. And that is a tragic thing to think that in all that whole multiplied population of Sodom, there were only 4 who were at least even willing to say they were living for God. When you can all be seated if you like. When God was being so generous as to only require 10. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? Well, I'll tell you what. Some time ago, I was actually studying about America in prophecy. And I remembered a statement made by a man named Leonard Ravenhill. If you've never read any of his books, you ought to. He wrote Why Revival Tarries. He wrote a book called Sodom Had No Bible. He made the statement, if God does not soon judge America, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And man, I'll tell you what, that is a powerful statement. Because we know the country we're living in has been going far from God. I know our founding fathers set it up on biblical principles, but oh, how far removed we've gone from there that in our day sin rampages across America. And I was studying one day and praying one day about America in prophecy. America in prophecies about the tribulation or about that last day's government or empire that rises, about America in the time of the Antichrist, you know, or in Armageddon. And the fact of the matter is, America is not clearly seen in Bible prophecy, and you can't help but wonder why. Why? I mean, right now, if you name all the nations of the world, even with our problems, America is still the leader of the world. How can an end time world come without America being involved? And you got to wonder, what is America's fate? Now, I'm thinking out loud because this is the way I was thinking. Is it possible that America is going to fail economically to the place that it will no longer be a world power? I don't know. Is it possible that America will fail politically and no longer exert a righteous, powerful influence in the world? I don't know. Is it possible that America will simply become a passive nation and allow those other nations of the world to rule internationally? I don't know. Is it possible that the rapture of the church will effectively doom America because of the number of believers that will be caught away? That it will be paralyzed and weakened to the point that when the end time government arises, there will no longer be a power here in America at all? Well, I'll tell you what. There is no doubt that America will face the wrath of God if sin continues to multiply and prevail. Is it possible that America is already under a divine sentence of wrath, but God is sparing it for the sake of the righteous? That's what I believe. I really believe that God's wrath on America is being held back only because of the people of God. And I'm going to tell you what, friends, we are in a crucial time. Amen. We are in a critical time. We have never seen morality at the low level it is in America today. We have never seen the political world on a rampage of things like it is today, promoting homosexuality, promoting abortion, constantly fighting everything godly and everything righteous. You got to wonder what in the world is happening in America. Amen. I'll tell you what, God is searching today for saints in America, amen, to make up a number that God will spare our nation because of those that are righteous. How about you? Are you in that number? I'll tell you what the terrible danger is. The terrible danger, first of all, is that we'll be assimilated into Sodom's culture. That's part of what happened to Lot and his family. When they went to Sodom, they were righteous people. They never intended to be unrighteous. They never had any plan to ever stop worshiping Jehovah God. But they got to Sodom, and what's so dangerous about that, when you read about it, you read that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom first. He never had any intention of actually moving in there and living in that society because everybody knew it was wicked. But the land was good, and the grass was good, and his cattle would feed good. And he looked at all the material benefits of that area and said, hey, we can live over there without being affected by the sin of Sodom. But pretty soon, he moved into Sodom and lived in a house. And then before you know it, he's sitting in the gate. And now, he not only has his family living in Sodom as residents, but now he's exercising authority in business and in the legal system, sitting in the gate. And then when the angels came and those evil, wicked men tried to attack the angels, Lot stepped out there and called them brethren. He had allowed his life and family to be assimilated into the society of Sodom. And I tell you what, we all, from the pulpit to the last pew, have the danger of being assimilated and sucked into and becoming part of sinful society right in America today. It's harder and harder to keep the distinction of a child of God. Yes, it is. It's more and more difficult to keep the world at bay and keep it pushed out of our lives. We are in such danger of allowing the world to creep into our lives so that, allow the church to become totally like the world. We got to keep the world out. Amen. The church will sink if the world gets in. But oh, how often in our lives we're allowing the world around us to come in to our life. And in this sense, not in the sense Brother Ray was talking about, but we just start going with the flow. That's the way the world's moving. That's the way people are thinking. That's the way things are being done. And we find ourselves being assimilated into that. We find ourselves getting used to the dark, so to speak. When you first walk into a dark room, you can't see a thing when you've been out in the light. But gradually your eyes adjust so that it doesn't seem so dark. After a while, a room that really looked dark can actually have quite a bit of recognizable light in it, because your eyes get used to it. And I'll tell you what, in America, we're in the danger that all the darkness around us, that at one time when we stepped into it, we said, wow, this is dark. Man, this is dark. Wow, this is evil. Man, this is not something to be a part of. I got to stay away from this. I got to avoid this. I got to not be involved in this. Man, this is dark. But what happens is, if we're not careful, we get assimilated in that and we begin adjusting our eyesight to the darkness of the world. And after a while, it doesn't look near so bad. Now, I know Lot never participated in the extreme wickedness of Sodom. He never practiced the homosexuality that they practiced. But he tolerated it, and he associated with it to the place that his family, for the most part, was assimilated into it. The next level, the next danger, is what happens over here. People actually become mockers. That's right. They not only have fit in, but once they fit in, then any warning of judgment, any warning of punishment, any warning about God's wrath, any warning about sin and what it will bring, it only causes them to laugh and to mock and to ridicule and to make fun. I tell you what, there are people that have sat right in holiness Pentecostal pews that have become mockers. Their life is a life of irreverence and disrespect to God. And every warning of wrath and judgment is considered nothing but an idle tale. And it's all a big joke to them. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, it's not going to be a joke someday. Amen. It's all coming down. And God is searching for saints right in Sodom today. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible talks about a day there will be scoffers walking after their own lusts. They do whatever they want. They live by all their own desires. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. Not a dad, not a mom, not a teacher, not a policeman, not a judge, not a preacher, not a youth leader, not a Sunday school teacher. Nobody is going to tell them what to do. They're going to walk after their own lusts. And then, when anybody puts pressure on them about the coming of the Lord and the punishment of sin, they say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, ever since those old timers died, they've been telling us about the coming of the Lord, and all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of the creation." There are mockers. They ought to know better. I tell you what, it's bad enough to be assimilated into Sodom society, and it's even worse to become a scoffer and a mocker of the punishment and wrath of God, amen, because it only comes at the end of great mercy. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long, long suffering. If God wasn't long suffering, we would not be here today. You know it's true. Amen. If it was not for the long suffering of God, who is not willing that any should perish. Man, oh man, there's numbers of us here today that would already be lost in hell without mercy and without hope of forgiveness. But oh, thank God He's long-suffering. Amen. The reason that wrath and punishment and judgment has not yet come is because God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everyone, amen, to be saved and come to repentance. But when that time of long suffering comes to an end, and it will, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Scoffers get by for a while, and they can laugh about it all for a while, and they can make fun about it all for a while, but they're not going to get the last laugh, because the day of the Lord is going to come. It may not be today, but it might be. It may not be before the end of this year, but it might be. It may not be in 2010, but it might be. But the day of the Lord is going to come. And Peter said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." Think about that. All of these things that people are living for, all of these lusts and desires and passions that they have that have taken them away from the Lord, they've taken them away from church, away from God, away from the Bible, away from prayer, away from holy living, they've gone into 1,000 things, and everything they're living for is going to be burned up and dissolved. It's all going to pass away, and they're going to be standing totally naked and left all alone before God. And Peter says, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" I don't know how many saints God requires to spare America. I don't know how long we have. I don't know when our judgment may come. Or I don't know when our Jesus may come. But I'd like to ask you today, are you among the number of the saints? If God was looking for saints to spare America today, and He knocked on your door, could He count you or not? "Oh, I've got my name on so-and-so's church book." God don't count saints by the church book. "Oh, I got a baptismal certificate in the closet." God don't count by a baptismal certificate. "I know it's a legal document on the earth, but that by itself is not a proof of salvation." "Oh, but my dad is so-and-so. My mom is so-and-so. My grandma is so-and-so." That don't matter. "Oh, but they have so-and-so position. They do this and that." Don't matter. God wants to know, are you among the number of the saints? Is he going to have to walk away from you without adding another number to the list? Let's stand today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you just to take your own personal examination today. Nobody is going to come to you personally. I'm not coming to every one of you today, grabbing you by the shoulder and saying, look me in the eye and tell me now. Can I count you among the saints? I'm not going to do that. But God's Spirit is doing that right now. And I want you to hear Him as He knocks on the door and says, I'm looking for saints. I'm counting them up. Can I count you in or not?